Have you ever been captivated with a passion that just drives you? What is God wanting to do in your life? What is it that stirs your heart that when you go to the place of prayer, it just begins to thump? There's an excitement in your veins.
Some live in it, some learn from it, and some can't escape it. Today on The Tide, letting God heal your past. Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Living through our pain is a necessary part of life. Reliving our pain doesn't have to be. If we let Him, God, heal the deep wounds of our past. We'll find out how He does it in today's message by Pastor Dwayne Pottinger. Let's join Pastor Dwayne and our director, Don Schenk, in studio. Gentlemen?
I read recently, Dwayne, that all of us carry some kind of a wound or some kind of baggage from our past. And, you know, there's a lot of self-help books out there trying to tell us, you know, how to overcome our past. A lot of people going for counseling, trying to overcome something that is troubling them, some kind of baggage, some hurt that is still there from the past. What, in your opinion, Dwayne, what are some of the factors that keep us from overcoming those wounds from our past?
Don, there may be many. I think it would depend on the individual. But I think some common things that keep us from overcoming these wounds would be, first of all, perhaps fear. Fear of going back into it, fear of facing some of the pain, the emotional baggage that we would have to work through to find our healing. Perhaps the fear of having to address individuals who have hurt them. It might be a family member. And to be reconciled, there actually has to be a process in which they go back and talk it out, grant each other forgiveness. So along with the fear, I would say there would be discomfort. It's not an easy thing. There is a lot of discomfort, uneasiness to go back through the process and have to deal with it all again. Then obviously there's the uncertainty. Not knowing what's going to happen. The fear sort of is connected to that. They might make their effort to go back and get some healing, but they might be afraid of the fact that it might not happen. And so there's that uncertainty connected with that fear that keeps people in bondage.
In addition to fear, isn't it true, Dwayne, that we often do whatever we can to kind of avoid pain? And we have that hurt from the past, and we kind of cover it up. We put up some walls around us. We have this baggage. We don't want anyone else to see it. You know, we're afraid to have them see it, but we don't even want to see it ourselves at times. And so we just ignore it, you know, stuff it, put it away, put it behind some walls, and pretend it isn't there.
That's exactly right. That's what I was going to say. We have become very good at learning how to stuff or mask or sweep things under the carpet. And in the public arena, we really try to pretend that everything's okay. Unfortunately, you can't survive that way very long. Eventually, that is going to erupt. That disease inside of us, like a cancer, like a rust to our soul, is eventually going to come out. And unfortunately, if it's not dealt with early, it's going to cause worse problems in the long run than if they would have been willing to face it up front.
So we just can't pretend it's not there. It's just not going to go away on its own.
It's not going to go away by itself.
Now, if we want to get over our pain, we have to acknowledge that it's there. But that's only the first step. To hear more, let's join Pastor Pottinger now for his message, Letting God Heal Your Past.
In 1920, a young man by the name of Oswald Smith stood before an examining board that was one that selected missionaries. The dream of being a missionary dominated his heart. It was his growing passion. But when the exam was over, Oswald Smith was rejected. As he prayed and poured out his heart before God, some of his disappointment, God gave him another idea. If he couldn't go as a missionary, then perhaps he could build a church that would send missionaries. And that's exactly what he did. Oswald Smith pastored the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, which sent out more missionaries than any other church at that time. Oswald didn't give up. He had a dream
that was directed by God. He took a lemon and made lemonade. God had a greater plan than what he envisioned to reach more people through a ministry than what he could reach if he would go and try to do the ministry. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever had a dream in your life? Have you ever been captivated with a passion that just drives you? What is God wanting to do in your life? I want to take a look at a young man in the scriptures today that I believe we see who had basically lost his dreams. He didn't really know what to do with life, but God spoke into his life and he began to dream again. Turn with me in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. We're going to look at the man called Gideon. I invite you to look with me in Judges chapter 6. And we're going to skip through the first part of those verses and pick up at verse 11. In the first several verses, it talks about what has happened. They're hiding in the caves and in the mountains, and how their animals have been stolen or killed, and their crops have been destroyed. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I find that very interesting as to what he said. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock and consumed the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. I want to stop and lift out several things for your consideration. I want to first of all talk to you today about a life-changing encounter. A life-changing encounter. I see in verse 11 that there was despair over a lost dream. As a young man, perhaps as all of us as young men, we grew up having these dreams and anticipations of what could possibly happen. We imagine the days to come as we become strong and we're wrestling with the guys or playing ball or whatever we might do. We look forward with great anticipation of what is yet to come. Not Gideon. He was a person of despair, of lost hope. As a matter of fact, he's threshing wheat in a wine press, in hiding under a tree, which indicates the level of discouragement and depression. He's hiding to conceal even the little bit of grain they have left. His thoughts were, "I'm going to do this for the rest of my life." But in the midst of his despair, I see there was a declaration of truth. "The Lord is with you," God said. I want you to know it was a fact based on what God has said. And God called him mighty warrior. I don't know what that does to your heart, but that just makes me smile. Because if Gideon, the way he was thinking that day, it made no sense for God to call him mighty warrior. As a matter of fact, he perceived himself not to be a warrior, but a wimp. And despite what Gideon thought about himself, the Lord said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." You don't have to let the past keep you from the future that God has for you. Yes, Satan wants to rob, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you don't have to be stuck in your past. Whose identity are you going to adopt for your life? If you're listening to Satan, you're going to be discouraged because he's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to tell you, you're no good, you have no value, you are a nobody, you can't do anything. But even in the midst of these words, I see that Gideon had a discouragement over his past pain. And his questions were in verse 13, why hasn't God demonstrated his miracles to us? The wonders we've heard our forefathers talk about, we haven't seen them in our life. And in the midst of his cry, there was a declaration from the Lord. He said, go, I am sending you, I am with you. God was asking Gideon to act in a way that was contrary to his feelings. Contrary to his thoughts, what he had been saying about himself, God was saying, I have some new thoughts for you to chew on for a while. Go, mighty warrior, I am with you. Unfortunately, his past experiences has left an impression on his mind of who his was. And so we see in verse 15, we see the depression of a discouraged servant. Gideon was only seeing things through his own paradigm, through his own glasses. Listen to what he said in verse 15. He said, my clan is the weakest, and my tribe or my family is the weakest of this tribe or of this clan, and I am the weakest, wimpiest person even in my family. But I want you to know, in the midst of this depression and discouragement, there was a declaration of Gideon's victory. In verse 16, the Lord said, I will be with you. And in essence, he was saying to Gideon, you're going to have victory. I want you to know something, friends. When there is one plus God, there is victory. And then in the next, I see that there was a demonstration of God's power to give Gideon hope. Gideon was told to put a sacrifice on the stone. I want you to note that Gideon had a part to play in this victory. God said, you're supposed to go and make a sacrifice. And there was a part he had to play. And he went back in and he got the goat and he prepared the sacrifice and he prepared the bread and he brought it out and made the sacrifice. And then when he was faithful doing his part, guess what? That's when God's power shows up. And so the question is, are we being faithful doing our part? Are we making our sacrifice and responding to what God speaks into our ear? And we can be confident that when we do what he says, that we are in the place where God's power can be displayed. I think for some of us, we, like Gideon, have been hiding behind masks, hiding behind hurts, hiding behind pains, trying to keep the little bit that we have left. And God has a fresh word for you today. He wants to speak into your spiritual life and into your ear and say, mighty warrior, I am with you. Go, I am with you. You know something, friends? You know you're getting old when you no longer have dreams that motivate you to get up in the morning. You know you're starting to die when you feel that the best part of your life is already over. What are your hopes and dreams? Are you hoping just to get out of bed in the morning and make it through another day or through another week? Maybe the past or present pain is too much for you to bear. Maybe it's the childhood pain of neglect or rejection or abuse. Maybe there was teenage embarrassment, shame, or loneliness. Maybe there was adult failure, loss of a job, maybe a broken family. And all these things have boxed you in a prison cell. Maybe it's a ball and chain on your spirit and your emotions. You don't feel like you have a right or even any glimmer of hope to begin to dream again. I believe some of us are carrying heavy burdens of past pains and hurts. It's time to find the freedom that Christ provides. Gideon doubted his ability to deliver his people from oppression, much like Moses. But Gideon experienced new hope and direction for his life. I want you to know today that we too can hold on to hope that we have in Christ, and we can dare to dream again. You can't change what has happened to you, but you can change how you're going to respond to what's happened to you. I see very simple steps from Gideon's story. Gideon's guide to a new dream. First of all, I invite you to prepare a sacrifice and offer yourself to God. You see, surrender is the first step to finding healing and to getting new dreams. Second step is, I see, listen for God's declaration of hope and truth. Hope and truth for you. You see, God's word is full of declarations of who you are in Christ. You need to go to God's word with hope in His truth. We need to replace the lies that have been playing on the tapes of our memories with the truth of God's word. So listen for God's declaration of hope and truth for you. I see a next step, and that is, let your pain become a possibility in God's hands. Do you know that every difficulty, every problem in life becomes a possible miracle? Every situation in which I see Jesus doing a miracle in the New Testament, every situation in which the disciples did a miracle, it began with a problem. Do you feel like a candidate for a miracle? All of those that are struggling with difficulties, who have ever struggled with difficulties, I want you to know we are a candidate for a miracle. So let your pain become a possibility. Turn it over to God. Jesus invites you to give it to Him. Fourth, declare the truth of God's word in your life. Start saying and telling yourself the truth. For too long, you have heard and you have been saying to yourself exactly what Satan has been saying to you. It's time to tell yourself the truth. And you say, but I can't really say that because it's not true. Wait a second. Who said this? Are you making it up? Are you trying to conjure it up about yourself? Or are these declarations that God says about you? If God said this about you, then I happen to believe that it's truth. You can't deny that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So declare the truth of God's word in your life. Five, ask God to demonstrate His power in your life. Are you feeling weak? Are you feeling like you can't overcome? Cry out to God and acknowledge your dependence. Acknowledge that John 5:15 is in fact true. Is it 15:5? John 15:5. Apart from you, Lord, I can do nothing. God, I need your power. Would you fill me with your strength? Would you help me overcome? Ask God to demonstrate His power in your life. Just as God demonstrated power for Gideon and made flames fire up from that rock, let Him bring a fresh fire in your own heart and your spirit. Number six, trust God to give you victory. You are guaranteed victory in His hands. Romans 8:37 says, sometimes we'll conquer. Is that what it says? No. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Now, faith is essential to gain God's healing and His victory. Lay claim to the promises. If God's word says it, it's available to you. We just need to lay claim to it, declare it, and live it. Number seven, defeat the enemy by the power of God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, Jesus said. Therefore, go. And He is saying to us that the power that He gained through His crucifixion and resurrection that was His, He's now making it available to us. Maybe instead of waiting for God to part your waters, you need to step into the water. Just as we saw in the Old Testament, the first time God parted the waters for them to go through. But the second time, they had to literally go and step in the water. And then the waters parted. And I want to encourage you, after you've prayed and called out to God for His help and strength, step forward into that difficulty. Step forward into that water. And then let God do a miracle for you. I don't know if you've looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 lately, but I want to read just three verses for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 says this: "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." I want you to know that we are more than conquerors. We can lay claim to His power. The goal of this message today and the messages that are coming in this series called Dare to Dream are for us that we might grow spiritually, that we might experience spiritual growth, emotional wholeness, and find full and complete forgiveness to move forward. To do that, friends, we have to walk through the doorway of acknowledging our pain, our anger, our hurt, not so that you could nurse it or rehearse it, but we need to reverse it in Jesus' name. We need to take down the barriers. We need to remove the mask. We need to face the fear, the hurt, the anger, then decide to forgive and let it go. Forgiveness means to abandon your stubbornness, to hold on to the issues, to let go and let God heal you so that you can dream again. You know, the eventual defeat of the Midianites became a significant milestone in the Hebrew history. It was Gideon's decision to accept his identity in God and trust Him that became the turning point, not only in his life as a young man, but in the lives of all of those Israelites. You know, every person and almost every congregation has experienced some difficulty, some painful moment in their history. It could have been a disagreement over doctrine. It could have been a disagreement over a practice in a church. It could have been a moral issue. It could have been a financial hardship. It could have been a lawsuit or a loss of job. All of those have impacted us individually. We must look at Jesus to bring His healing power and forgiveness to our hearts so that we can move on and be set free from the prisons that would keep us in check. We need to have Jesus somehow release us from that ball and chain and find that fullness and freedom and forgiveness that comes through Christ. I am convinced that far too many believers are struggling along, limping, dragging things of the past, that Jesus is longing for you to come to Him to find freedom, fullness, and forgiveness. The question is, are we willing to take that first step of preparing a sacrifice and offering ourselves to Him?
Pain is and always will be a part of life, but it doesn't have to dominate your life. Face, forgive, and forget your past. And only then can God give you a future. Before we close today's broadcast, let's once again join Don and Pastor Duane in the studio.
Don, it seems like humanity does not realize our need until we get to the end of our resources, until the end of our rope or to the bottom of our barrel. And so God, when we turn away from Him, allows us to go through that process of servitude, and then we become broken. There we're under slavery and bondage, and out of that desperation, we begin to cry out for help. You can see that story in the Israelites when they were under Egyptian bondage. They were crying out for mercy, crying out for God to somehow deliver them. And in the midst of that supplication then, that crying out to God, in His mercy, God brings salvation. And it's demonstrated over and over how merciful, loving, and forgiving God is. He longs to forgive us and ultimately bring us healing. And so that's where it fits into mankind's cycle. He wants us to be healed. He doesn't want us to be broken, but allows us to get there so that we can find or realize our need for His forgiveness and healing.
If we want to get out of that habit of of nursing it, rehearsing it, and cursing it, and actually get to the point where we can reverse it and heal it. What do we really need to do?
I think we have to awaken to what we're doing. We're simply going through this absolutely futile cycle, realize we're at the end of our own ability. Part of reversing that is coming to Christ. We get caught up in the nursing, you know, kind of wanting to let people know how much pain and how much hurt we've gone through, and we tend to hold on to those things, cherish our pain. So the nursing and cursing and rehearsing go nowhere. It's a little treadmill. But part of reversing it is actually bringing that to Christ, who is the source of our healing, and laying it down at the foot of his cross.
Well, Duane, let me talk a little bit about a country where God is doing some healing. We've been broadcasting in Romania, and we work together there with an organization called My Brother's Keeper, and they're involved in a lot of different ministries there, but they have helped us to get a radio ministry established there. And Will Holtry, who's the head of that organization, just returned from a visit to that country, and he's brought back some really encouraging news. What we're hearing is that there is an increased response to our program. More and more people are turning to God in that country. God is just doing a wonderful work of revival there. We're so pleased to be a part of that through our radio program. And in fact, one of the encouraging things that Will said when he came back was that there are actually more radio stations now that are opening up time for our program. And in addition to those openings there in Romania, there's actually the opportunity to put that same program on in Moldova, where the people speak a language which is called Moldovan Romanian. It's essentially the same as the Romanian language. So there opens up a whole new country. And these are just some fantastic opportunities that are facing us. And first of all, I want to say thanks to all of our listeners who have been helping us to keep these programs going at the existing level where we're at. And invite any of you who are listening today, if you'd like to be a part of reaching these people to bring healing to these former communist countries of Romania and Moldova, we invite you to share in that by partnering with us financially in those ventures.
Radio. It is the greatest missionary the world has never seen. But thanks to listeners like you, it is being heard. To make a donation towards our ongoing work in Romania, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Again, that's 1-877-859-5484. And remember, when you call with a gift of any size, we'll gladly send you a copy of today's lesson, Letting God Heal Your Past. Just ask for a tape or CD, number 0323. Call today or write to us at The Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. To hear an encore presentation of today's message, or to find out more about our missions activities all around the world, log on to our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, I'm sure you've heard stories about God intervening in someone else's life. How often does He show up in yours, though? Well, coming up next week, Seeing God in Everyday Life. Until then, I'm Dave Dino. Thank you so much for listening to The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.